and the Rainbow Children. I hope folks are thinking about some of the implications of the story. Thus far, I'm thinking of them as chapters. Today was chapter 7, Mellow. One of the key conclusions reached by our good three, and perhaps I should place that this statement within the context of my take on the Rainbow Children, which is that Prince has given us, has thought through the key questions that need to be thought through as we work together to design an alternative to class. And that he's not alone as a prophet of class, but he is alone in having developed a strategy applicable to our present moment. One of the key conclusions reached by our good three as a result of their systematic global analysis of our prospects for winning our freedom, we who long for it globally, was, quote, and this is a quote from Anti-Systemic Movements by Giovanni Arrighi, Terence K. Hopkins, and Emmanuel Wallerstein. Of the processes that stem from capital's ongoing centralization, the second and third entail the redefinition of trajectories. For the denationalization of domestic labor forces suggests a fundamental change on the part of the left as to what national means. To accomplish the reconception will entail a degree and kind of substantive and rhetorical inventiveness not presently in ascendance within prominent movements. And the third, the increasing salience of the gender question, entails the further generalization from the pauperization of women to the pauperization of people on a world scale. And I'm going to encourage us to think about this quote for next week and to think about this notion of the pauperization of people on a world scale, not just in material terms, but in a holistic terms, because those are the terms we are given by Prince. And these are the terms that I believe make his strategy so evolutionary, so fresh, and so needed for this moment. It has been anticipated by all who long for us to free ourselves from force, from coercion, including Nikola Tesla himself. We have been pauperized in every sense, in all of our aspects, when we are diminished by the coerced work system. But the sense in which our good three are talking about it, in which the entire globe is engulfed, that is to say, the very structure of the global economic system cannot provide for the numbers that of us that now exist. And for them, this is a dilemma of what to do with us. For us, this is a dilemma of how to save ourselves from these sad folk and regain the full richness of our human possibilities, of our humanness. I interrupted them. Let's continue. The further generalization from the pauperization of women to the pauperization of people on a world scale. That is precisely the change in consciousness. The very effectiveness of the organizations in core zones may help to bring about. Of course, they have not. As part of world-scale movements that bypass and so subvert interstate arrangements. So this work falls on us today, right now. Right now. And we have been challenging the notion that it is organizations that are going to do this work. They have not, And we have been arguing they cannot, that it is, and that the technology has now come around to empower the individual over the self-conscious organization of the power-mad few. They are attempting to monopolize, as they've done, as power has done throughout history, throughout class time. They are attempting to have to claim exclusive ownership of the knowledge resources in order to prevent ourselves from owning ourselves, freeing ourselves from them. I am convinced, and so this was an unquote from Giovanni Arrighi. That last point was that in order for us to free ourselves, we have to bypass and subvert interstate organizations, the global elite, the global shadow state, and that organizations cannot do this. But we, working together cooperatively, collaboratively, freely associating, creating associations and societies that are based in the freely developing individual, the power of one, which the technology backs, allows us to do now. That it is only we as fully developing individuals who can do what needs to be done. I'm convinced, and this is the tie-in with Prince, because he models a fully developing individual. And what I have come to understand, thanks to Alice Miller, is that those who manifest, model freely developing individuality are the most dangerous model from power's perspective for we the people to see. They do not want models of people who are whole, who own themselves, because that means we cannot be defined by the tiny few. And I'm convinced from clear indications in his lyrics, and we'll obviously be discussing this more, that as early as 1982, when Prince's album 1999 was released, that was in 1982, that Prince was getting hit with EMF. What is also evident this early was a clear international consciousness in him and an astonishing strategic precociousness politically, which we'll consider in more depth next week. Point being that Prince possessed the key strategic next steps for us to get our freedom. What we have to remember is the key strategic and historical juncture that all of us globally now inhabit, one that our good three are calling us to see. A juncture in which the official left has been captured by the interstate system, global power, the global shadow state, the tasks of which are implemented by for sale agents of trained up in, for sale agents of trained up in the coerced work system, paid to do the dirty work of the shadow global statesman via a number of routes. Public, private, and off the books, clandestine. And this in every state globally until we develop alternative routes for our energy to flow in. In every state, it is the same. How do we change this? How do we confront hidden actors using hidden means, agents, and weaponry? That is the puzzle that only those who possess a clear picture of what we are up against can solve. One who is strategic and far-sighted, and that means Prince. Next week, we'll talk about it. In the meantime, please, let's do what we can to insist that Henry Kissinger answer the questions we've put to him and take responsibility for the murder of Prince. He not only knew about these weapons at least a decade before Prince was first targeted, but clearly, unless he denies authorship of the telegram we reproduced during our August 14, 2016 show, he was one of the principal architects of the whole bipartite scheme to use EMF weapons for both the quote-unquote surgical elimination, quote-unquote surgical elimination of dissent, and population management. These are conversations we've been having here, which become self-evident once we get on it and uncover the necessary trail that is left behind this scheme, which has been obviously suppressed in official discourse.